May the voted solemnity of Our Lady's Visitation be for us an increase of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, for the second time in the liturgical year, the first is on the Ember Friday of Advent, we celebrate the Visitation, the second joyful mystery. I'm sure the truth of the matter is that there is, as they say, room for improvement for all of us in our meditation each day on the mysteries of the Rosary. But some mysteries of the Rosary seem to lend themselves, by their intrinsic beauty and poetry and spirituality, more than others to a facile meditation and for many fruits to be drawn from the soul. Surely one of the most attractive of the 15 decades of the Rosary must be the second joyful, the Visitation. I think that you would be hard put in a lifetime of good reading and prayer to begin to exhaust the mysteries of the feast which we celebrate today, the Visitation of Our Lady. Probably the secret is not so much, you know, people say, well, I can't meditate or my mind wanders. It's not so much that as the preparation or the lack of preparation. Just as you couldn't expect to grow a garden without water and some kind of fertilizer or food for the plant, so too you can't expect to nourish the garden of your soul unless you feed it and water it by devout reading. There really is a lot out there. And a feast like this should encourage us to, one little garden patch at a time, develop all 15 of these beautiful flowers, to present them to Our Lady and to draw for ourselves tremendous spiritual fruit. Now, yesterday we had the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of Our Lord. Today we see in the calendar the first triumph of that precious blood. It is barely present upon earth, that is to say, that Our Lord has just been conceived in the Immaculate Womb of His Mother, and already the precious blood, as it were, goes on a mission to seek out and to destroy the devil in possession, through original sin, of his cousin's soul while he is still in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. For this purpose, he deputes his blessed mother, and she graciously goes in a hurry to do God's will into the hill country of Judea. And she enters into the house of Zachary, and she salutes her cousin Elizabeth, and that little child in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb, is sanctified of original sin. Before the precious blood is shed, already the second soul is sanctified. The first, of course, is Our Lady. In an extraordinary fashion, before her conception, the foreseen merits of Our Lord's blood are already applied as a preventative to her soul. St. John's case is different. He is conceived in original sin, but he will not be born in it. He will enter this world with a mission of preparing souls to receive Our Lord. Now, through the anticipated power of Our Lord's precious blood, St. John's soul is washed of original sin. And this is done, as from now on, everything will be done throughout all of history until the end, only through the Blessed Mother. The Visitation marks that new dispensation of grace, that all good will now come only through the hands and the work and the prayer of the mediatrix of all graces, Our Lady. It is a very important mystery, the second joyful mystery, and one that should be extremely joyful to us. Consider the beautiful paradox. Our Lord goes to sanctify from original sin his cousin. How is that generally done? By the baptism of water. But St. John is not baptized with water. He is sanctified by the mere presence of Jesus and Mary, by the grace that Our Lord sends him. And by this means, too, Our Lord sanctifies or makes holy the sacramental, not sacrament, but sacramental baptism of water that John would be giving out during his life as a preparation for the real sacrament of baptism, which was only to come later. Today is a good day to pray for the peace and the union of the church. Today's feast day came about to cause the end of the Great Western Schism, when there are two or three or four separate candidates all claiming to be the true pope. The church was terribly divided. It was the worst crisis the Catholic Church has faced until that day, and now, of course, in modern times, it is far, far worse. But as Our Lady healed one schism, so too we ask Our Lady to heal the schism, as well as to crush the heresy that so afflicts us in our own day. Through her, may that schism be healed. Just thinking of just on a local level, all the heretics of the Fenians that are in this general area and in our midst. When you say the second joyful mystery, pray for them, for a proper understanding of water baptism. Today's feast is a complete one. The saints whom we commemorate today, Saints Processus and Martinian, were jailers of Saint Peter when he was in the Mamertine prison just before his martyrdom. They were converted by the Prince of the Apostles, and he desired to baptize them. Our Lord, so much as if to show that there is both a baptism of desire and baptism of blood, caused a miraculous fount of water, which is still to be seen in the prison cell, to come out of the floor so that they could be baptized in the usual way, even though there are many other saints, such as the martyrs of Sabbath on March 10th, who are baptized only by desire, the unusual or the different way. You see how beautiful the divine plan is. And if only we stay in the church, we have all of our needs taken care of. Let us ask Our Lady to bring about that peace, concord, and unity that comes about only through her intercession, true charity. One of the classic depictions of the visitation is the clasping of the right hand of Elizabeth and Our Blessed Mother. That's called the conjunctio dextrae, the joining of the right. That's why spouses hold each other's right hand when they get married, and that is as well this ancient gesture, the origin of the modern handshake of greeting. It symbolizes unity and concord, the beautiful unity and peace between these two cousins, Our Lady and Elizabeth. And we should pray for that same spirit to be found in all that we do through the intercession of Our Lady. One last thought. Elizabeth says, "And who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The phrase, "mother of my Lord," is from the ancient Hebrew for the mother of the king or the queen mother. And that was the title that was given to all of the great queens of the Old Testament. So when Elizabeth says that, she is the very first human voice to acclaim Our Lady as queen and her son as king. Another profound truth that is hidden in this magnificent and very simple-seeming mystery. Last of all, consider the importance of charity. I mean practical deeds of helping out and of serving others. Very often it is true, when we leave our prayers, we go out to accomplish something, whether it's duty or charity, that it seems that we lose something of our union with our Lord. And sometimes, God forbid, we're even exposed to temptation or sin. Only our Blessed Mother, because she was in what's called the unitive way, lost nothing of her absolute union with God when she left prayer to perform the very humdrum tasks of daily life that a pregnant woman, especially when in advanced years, needed to be taken care of for her at that time. But let's ask Our Lady, when we do deeds of charity, never to lose a single bit of our union with our Lord, so that by means of living this second mystery, the visitation, we might truly experience in our souls, and perhaps through us in the church, an increase of peace. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.